Chapter 32, Regina and Michael. Regina was tired. She tired more easily these days, it seemed, and they went to bed together around 9, long before Arnie came in. They made love that was dutiful and joyless. Lately, they made love a lot. It was almost always dutiful and joyless, and Michael had begun having the unpleasant feeling that his wife was using his penis as a sleeping pill. And as they lay in their twin beds after, Michael asked casually, "How did you sleep last night?" "Quite well," Regina said candidly, and Michael knew she was lying. "Good." "I came up around 11 and Arnie seemed restless," Michael said, still keeping his voice casual. He was deeply uneasy now. There had been something in Arnie's face tonight, something he hadn't been able to read because of the damned shadows. It was probably nothing at all, but it glowed in his mind like a baleful neon sign that simply would not shut off. Had his son looked guilty and scared? Or had it just been the light? Unless he could resolve that, sleep would be a long time coming tonight, and it might not come at all. "I got up around 1, Regina said, then hurried to add, "just to use the bathroom. I checked in on him." She laughed a little wistfully. "Old habits die hard, don't they?" "Yes," Michael said. "I guess they do." "He was sleeping deeply then. I wish I could get him to wear pajamas in cold weather."
"He was in his skivvies?"
"Yes."
He settled back, immeasurably relieved and more than a little ashamed of himself as well. But it was better to know, for sure. It was all very well for him to tell Arnie that he knew the boy could no more commit a murder than he could walk on water. But the mind, that perverse monkey, the mind can conceive of anything and seems to take a perverse delight in doing so. Just maybe, Michael thought, lacing his hands behind his head and looking up at the dark ceiling, just maybe that's the peculiar damnation of the living. In the mind, a wife can rot, laughing with a best friend. A best friend can cast plots against you and plan backstabbings. A son can commit murder by auto. Better to be ashamed and put the monkey to sleep. Arnie had been here at 1 o'clock. It was unlikely Regina was mistaken about the time because of the digital clock radio on their bureau. It told the time in numbers that were big and blue and unmistakable. His son had been here at 1 o'clock, and the Welch boy had been run down 3 miles away 25 minutes later. Impossible to believe that Arnie could have dressed, gone out without Regina, who had surely been lying wakeful hearing him, gone down to Darnell's, gotten Christine, and driven out to where Moochie Welch had been killed. Physically impossible. Not that he had ever believed it to begin with. The mind monkey was satisfied. Michael rolled over on his right side, slept, and dreamed that he and his 9-year-old son were playing miniature golf on an endless series of small, astroturfed greens where windmills turned and tiny water hazards lay in wait. And he dreamed that they were alone, all alone in the world, because his son's mother had died in childbirth. Very sad. People still remarked on how inconsolable Michael had been. But when they went home, he and his son, the house would be theirs, alone. They would eat spaghetti right from the pot like a couple of bachelor slobs, and when the dishes were washed, they would sit at a kitchen table hidden beneath spread newspapers and build model cars with harmless, plastic engines. In his sleep, Michael Cunningham smiled. Beside him, in the other bed, Regina did not. She lay awake and waited for the sound of the door that would tell her that her son had come in from the world outside. When she heard the door open and close, when she heard his step on the stairs, then she would be able to sleep. Maybe.